Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly influence call. Persuasion, influence, motivation, negotiation. We cover all of the points. But this is where we're going to spend some time talking about a few persuasion tools. Take your questions and let you go. So before we get started today, are there any questions out there, comments? Today I want to talk about the gatekeeper. Tell me, what is a gatekeeper?
Usually like an assistant or somebody that is the first line of defense against, in front of a decision maker.
Exactly. They're everywhere. We have this, almost this term, this gatekeeper. And a lot of people would ask me, how do you get through? Because it's very difficult to persuade when you can't get to the right person. So let's get into it. First of all, who is the gatekeeper? That is a screener. It could be a secretary, a receptionist, a personal assistant. If you're working out of your home or working with other people, it could even be a spouse. Excuse me. It could be a spouse. It could be a business partner. And their job is to screen you so you don't get to their boss or to the other person. This is their job. That's what they do. That's what they're paid to do, which hurts your ability to talk to the right person. If you can't talk to the right person, again, it's very difficult to persuade that person. So they're screeners. Again, secretary, receptionist, personal assistant, all of these would be classified as a gatekeeper. Now, here are the challenges that we see that when we have these gatekeepers. The first is you can't get to the right person. It's very difficult at times. Sometimes we are sent to the wrong person or a lower-level person. The gatekeeper a lot of times decides if you're important. Now, sometimes that's a blow to the self-esteem because you know you're important. You know you have an important product or service, but they're going to decide real fast how important you are. And your goal is to get to the right person. So a lot of times gatekeepers can really waste our time. But we have to back up, too, and think about, okay, they're doing their job. How can we understand what they're doing? They have their marching orders, and they could get in trouble. If they let the wrong person through, they could get in trouble. And so we're going to talk about how to work through the gatekeeper. This is where the persuasion starts. This is not a war. Too many people try to be aggressive or abrasive in this situation. It's not a war. You're working together. And remember within persuasion that we tend to persuade others how we like to be persuaded. And with gatekeepers, we tend to treat them how we like to be treated, which might not be right. We need to adjust and adapt and talk about various things that we can do to get through the gatekeeper. Now, I have spent my life trying to get through gatekeepers, and I have a gatekeeper. Okay, so I'm on both sides like many of you, and we need to really understand how this works. So let's talk about some of the major blunders. As I interview gatekeepers to find out what's working, what's not working, what upsets them, what aggravates them. And the top of the list is lies. People lie. It was expecting my call. We talked 2 weeks ago. And when it gets through to the boss or to the person and they find out before the call or after the call that this person lied to get to them, I mean, can you really do business with that kind of person that's lied to your gatekeeper, that's lying to you? And
no.
You can't. It's impossible, but they still try to do that. It gets around. And if you lie to get to the right person, there's no business there. There's no persuasion. So don't lie. I've seen so many people try to do that, to lie their way through. Yeah, we met last week. We did lunch last week. We're old friends. We went to high school together. Like, really? You know, the gatekeeper buzzes you. Oh, yeah, this is Jim Brewster. You went to high school together. And I know I went to high school with, and they're not going to get my business. Be very careful of that. Also understand that whatever you've tried a lot of times, they've heard it all before. And they're not your enemy. And don't be rude and sarcastic. That's one of the big complaints. Or you tend to bully them. Or you refuse to give them additional information. Well, what's your company? What's this regarding? Well, that's for so-and-so. It's none of your business or something like that. I mean, really? People treat people that way? And it happens all the time. Well, that's private information. I can't share that with you. And they're like, really? So they've heard it all before, and we need to do it the right way. Things have changed quite a bit. Now, I think one of the big mistakes on your end is that you don't take notes. Every time you talk to a gatekeeper or a prospect, you should take copious notes. Because if you call and ask for somebody that has a difficult last name and you pronounce their first or last name wrong, ding, 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 they know that you're not getting through. So maybe find out how to pronounce it for the next time. Gather information. What is this gatekeeper like? What is their personality like? What is their schedule? Those type of things. Just find out a little bit about them. Take notes. And this is very successful for a lot of people that, for their jobs, get past gatekeepers. Is maybe they find out a little bit of information time, and after the third or fourth call, and they don't remember them because they get so many calls, they know the gatekeeper's name. They know how to pronounce their boss's name the right way. They know the type of personality they have can go a long way just to make two or three calls before you even attempt to get to the gatekeeper. Now, of course, it takes more time, but if it's getting you through and getting you the business, it's probably worth it. So take good notes. Find out how to pronounce their name. Find out their name. It goes a long way if you find out their name's Wendy. Say, well, hey, Wendy, how you been? And just start it out that way. It goes a long way. There's two different types of screeners we need to talk about. There's one I call the detective. Okay? They have lots of questions. They're going to be very nice. They might engage in a little small talk. They'll like to connect. And they might even treat you like a VIP, right? Like you're really important. And this type of person, you probably want to make it sound like a personal call. You want to be positive. You want to be confident. You do not want to have any hint of uncertainty or apology. You want to be very confident with what you're doing. Because understand, if they believe that you're important, they will treat you differently. If they believe that you're a customer or a client, they will treat you differently. So if you can use a relaxed, calm voice, speak slowly, and don't divulge more than necessary, it'll go a long way. Because you only have a few seconds to really grab their attention. So the detective, you want to be personal, but you still want to be very confident and don't sense any of that fear. When they ask you that question that scares you, don't let them sense that fear. Now, kind of the opposite of a detective is what we call the bulldog. I'm sure you've met the bulldog. Nobody gets through unless you're on the list. You got to get to the point. You got to be blunt. There's no humor here. There's no chit-chat. They're the bulldog. That's why they're there, because they're good at it. They don't care if they offend you. That's the bulldog. Maybe you have some family like that, but this is the bulldog as far as the gatekeeper. So you're good. And this one you also want to come across as important. And one thing that you want sometimes here is do the opposite of what they expect, or ask for something that surprises them, kind of throw them off a little bit. Really kind of get you into the bulldog, but they're to the point, they're very blunt, and you need to be polished to get through the bulldog. So let me give you some steps on how to do this. You're probably never going to use all five steps for every encounter, but if you can use one or two, it'll increase your chances to get through to the gatekeeper. So number one, let's talk about some strategies. What can you do? So the first one I titled The Cookie Man, okay? The Cookie Man, just like the cookies that you eat. And this is based on experience. And this usually works for people that are local or a major contact that you want to see. And basically, you drop by and you bring gifts. There was a person that wanted to do business with me. I had no use. I had somebody else. But they'd drop by every couple months, and they'd bring cookies. Let me ask you this. Even though I wasn't interested in their product, did I like the cookies?
Yeah.
I loved the cookies, and they were good cookies. Now, he didn't get the deal the first time, but he brought in cookies, and it's known as reciprocity. When somebody gives you something, you feel a desire to give something back, even if it's your time, even just to listen. I'd listen a little bit, and I'd eat his cookies. I loved his cookies. And we know that your mood affects persuasion, and food and cookies puts people in better moods. It does open doors. And when you pop in person, it's harder to reject somebody's face, somebody that's standing right there. It's pretty easy over the phone. It's a lot easier over the email, but there you are. Now, this is somebody that's really important that you want to meet, that might be local. You might even catch the person that you're trying to reach. They might walk by. You might see them face to face. You might want to shake their hand, set up an appointment. You could bring in a book, a CD, donuts. Maybe you want to call and find out. Say, I'm going to be dropping by next week. I want to know, Mr. or Mrs. Gatekeeper, what is your favorite treat? I want to take care of you. That simple. It could be that simple. And the donut guy, or not the donut guy, the cookie man, we eventually did business together. I don't know how much he spent in cookies or how much weight I gained, but we did business with the cookie man. Now, if they're in a different state, maybe you can send them something. Maybe you can attach something to an email. Maybe you can attach something that's really funny. There's a lot of ways to do this reciprocity. But if you can show up in person, remember, it's harder to reject you in person. And that might be walking by. You can introduce yourself. There's a lot of persistence to this, too. Doesn't mean you're going to get it the first deal. When you look at top persuaders, it probably could take you 4, 5, 6 times sometimes to get in there and get your message across. So that's number one, the cookie man. Number two, let's talk about voicemail. If you can't get through, maybe voicemail's okay. But you need to realize that you should customize each voicemail. It's different. Now, when you listen to their voicemail, do they sound like a visual person? Do they sound like more of a kinesthetic or feeling person? Do they sound like an analytical person, an amiable person? It matters. Read their personality, and you should adjust your message to them. If somebody says, hey, this is Bob, you know the drill, leave me a message, you know you need to get to the point, and you probably need to drop a few statistics. If there's music in the background, hey, this is Cheryl, it's a great day, I promise to get back to you, really like you, that sort of thing, you know you need to spend a little more time. It could be a longer message, a little more bubbly or a little more energy. It makes a big difference. So customize each voicemail, read their personality, and if you get to the voicemail, list some benefits. Don't vomit. You've heard me use vomit before. Here are the 17 reasons. List the benefits. What can you leave? Short and to the point. Say, it could be something like this. Hey, Mr. Brewster, this is Kurt Mortensen. I help CEOs who are frustrated by low sales and high turnover. I have a simple system to increase sales by 30% in 60 days. Give me a call at and say the number. And by the way, repeat the number twice. That's a big complaint. Repeat the number twice. Or I could say, Mr. Brewster. Or I could, okay, let's talk about the second call. Let's say he hasn't called me back. Second call. Mr. Brewster, want to touch base with you again? My name's Kurt Mortensen. Are you tired of your salespeople making excuses and not meeting their quota? Give me 5 minutes. And I will show you 3 proven ways to increase sales. Give me a call, number twice. Now, the CEO might turf that to a sales manager, which is good, would say, hey, call this person. They'll get you to call you back. But be creative, and voicemails can be okay. And sometimes even using social validation, meaning I was talking to Frank at XYZ Corporation. They suggest that I give you a call, especially if they know them or it's a company they recognize. Is another way to get them to call you back on the voicemail. And if you ask the gatekeeper a lot of times, just send me the voicemail, that can get you past them and into their world. Number three is sometimes you need to find a different gate. So here's the gatekeeper. You need to find a different gate. What does that mean? Well, maybe you need to call at different times of the day. Calling somebody right before lunch is going to find them in a different mood than right after lunch or in the morning. And everyone's a little different that way. One thing, too, is that when you look at CEOs and executives, if that's who you're trying to get through to, this is what we know, is the day is so busy that throughout the day they don't accomplish much. If they don't come in early or stay late, they don't get much done. So they tend to come in early or stay late because that's when they get most of their work done. What does that mean? It means the gatekeeper's there from, what, 9 to 5, 8 to 5, whatever the hours are. So if you can get through directly or find out their extension or ring them earlier in the morning or later in the evenings, a lot of times they are there and they will pick up the phone and you've bypassed the gatekeeper. Maybe you want to call at lunch when there's the sub. Maybe they're a nicer person. Maybe you need to change the method. Can you fax something? Can you email something? Can you send them a letter? What can you do? Can you have somebody else there deliver the message personally? Change the gate around to see if you can get through. Next one of the 12 laws of persuasion, is the law of connectivity. If you can find common ground, if you can treat them with respect, if you can polish up your people skills, it matters. Most business is done with people we like. And if you give them reasons not to like you, it's easier to hang up on you. If you're a nice person, it's harder for them to say no or to hang up on you. But bottom line, and this is based on research and interviews, if you can just treat them like a human being and show a little respect, you might have to persuade them a little bit, have a little rapport, spend all day on the law of connectivity, but it's simple. This is one of the big complaints. And another thing, too, is that we find is that executives that they're gatekeeping for value their opinion. They'll ask about you and how you treated them. How did you treat them when you were waiting for the appointment? They care. You need to treat everyone like they can do business with you or know somebody that can. Because they can be your allies. They're not the enemy. And polish up those people skills, learn a little rapport, learn to mirror and match their energy and maybe some of the words that they use. All the law of connectivity will really help you out. Last one. This would be your very last one or last tool that you can use. It's called beg for mercy. Okay? What you're going to do here is appeal to their esteem. You're going to ask for their help. So what can you say here? You know, Anne, I'm sorry about wasting your time. I've been calling every time. I'm trying to get through to Joe. Help me out here. If you were me, how could I get through to Joe? And appeal to their esteem. Say, well, you know, I've left a lot of voicemails not calling me back. What type of people does he talk to? What is he looking for? I have a solution for him that he was interested in. What can I do? And appeal to them. Help me out. What would you do? Is there a better time to call? Should I call next week? Is he in meetings? Beg for mercy. Appeal to their esteem. Please help me. And that's what you're looking for beg for mercy. It's the last one. You're not using that first, but if this is your last-ditch effort, please, please help me. And again, little boost to their esteem is always helpful. We know the law of esteem, that if you can boost their esteem in any way, the doors of persuasion and influence swing open. Think about those. A few bonus points I want you to think about. If you can create some type of urgency where you need to talk to them that day or that week or there's a deadline, that is always helpful. Maybe you can show how they could be the hero for letting you through, that they're going to provide the solution to their challenge. Sometimes you can make an odd request, meaning ask for something that most people don't, that they have to either think about or research or get back to you on, tends to be helpful. And if you can at any time mention that, well, we talked earlier, we talked last week, he told me to call me back, we did lunch, that is very, very helpful to get through the gatekeeper because then they know there's some type of relationship there. That will really help you out. You do not want to say that, or wait for the receptionist or gatekeeper to say, what's this referring to? You want to get to the point where they don't get there. If you could kind of package it in a little way, you can avoid it every time, but try to avoid it as much as possible. So this is what I want you to work on. I want you to write 3 scripts that you can use to get past the gatekeeper. Maybe you want to record it and listen to it how you sound. But the goal here is to test, adjust, and test. What's working, what's not working. Not you're going to use the same one every time. You're going to adjust. Let's take experience. There's nothing 100% to get through a gatekeeper, but if we can increase it by 50%, we're getting somewhere. And that will help you out. I mean, if someone comes up and says, can I tell them what this is regarding? Don't have any fear. You just say, you bet. I'm following up on a prior conversation I had with Mike. It can be that simple, with confidence. Or if they say, oh, what's this regarding? Well, you know, I sent some information. I'm checking in to see what he wants to do next, with confidence. Or if they say something like, do you have an appointment? Is he expecting your call? Well, he should be, based on the information I sent him or the information I gave him, are different things that you can play with as you go through your homework. This is a big, big piece because a lot of people just try once and they give up. You get through the gatekeeper, then you become a top persuader. It'll make a big difference in getting in front of the right people make a big difference in your income, and of course it'll make a big difference in your success. Any questions about what we talked about today?
I don't have a question, but I'm sure glad you're covering this information because it's going to be very beneficial, I'm sure.
It will be. And then this includes, again, it could be a spouse. It could be a business partner. There's a variety of things, especially if you start doing things like real estate with a lot of emotions involved and they don't necessarily agree, or divorce-type situations. You could find someone that's just not giving the messages or deleting the messages, or you just can't get through to them. Everyone, have a great week. Wishing you massive success. Talk to you next week.